A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
Hey, welcome on in. KSL's unrivaled. Mitch Harper filling in for Alex Carey today. And joining me, my Cougar Sports Saturday co-host, Matt Biamonte, filling in for Scott Mitchell. So some Cougar Sports Saturday flair. It's not just going to be BYU talk, though. We're going to hit on the Utes. We're going to hit on NFL talk, all the usual topics we get to here on Unrivaled. So, Matt, how you doing tonight?
Doing great, Mitch. And what a weekend of sports. I mean, the NFL was crazy. I mean, what we saw in the NFL was nuts. We're going to get to that. College football was crazy as well. It's glad to be here on a Monday recapping a wonderful weekend of sports.
Yeah, we got to start things off, though, with the Utah game up at Washington. There's a lot to hit on this Utah team who starts out the season 0-2, and that's where we're going to get off in the cut.
The Cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Yeah, the cut always brought to you by WasatchMedicalClinic.com. Go to visit WasatchMedicalClinic.com today. Utah falls to Washington 24-21. They blew a 21-0 lead that they had at the half. It was the first time Washington had come back from that large of a deficit at the half since, like, 1988. It's been a long time since Utah, too, has started a season 0-2, first time since 2007. Matt, how did this happen, and how is Utah suddenly this program that's winless beyond Thanksgiving?
Well, those are two separate questions, Mitch. I'll address the first one. How did this happen? I think it's pretty simple. Four turnovers. You had two fumbles lost. One of them, a critical turnover by the freshman Ty Jordan in the red zone, in which Utah may have been able to get some of that momentum back in the second half. That one really hurt. When you have four turnovers, I know Washington had three interceptions, but when you have four turnovers, a couple in the second half as well, that's difficult. And then I think the other thing that has been kind of interesting to watch so far for Utah, Mitch, and I'm curious how you feel about this, I just don't feel like the back half of their defense has been as good as we have typically seen in years past under Kyle Whittingham. That secondary gave up a couple big plays. It just doesn't seem like Utah has that typical defense they can rely on. And when you're up 21-0 at the half, yes, the offense did not do what they needed to do in the second half. No one is disputing that. But when you're up 21-0, you'd like to think your defense could carry you home, which Utah has done so often. I mean, they haven't had a great offense in what seems like ever under Kyle Whittingham, but their defense slipping, I think, has been one of the most notable things to me.
Yeah, you kind of wonder, too, if there's still a little bit of a hangover in the program from that loss to Oregon last year. I mean, Utah right now as a program is currently on a four-game losing streak dating back to that Pac-12 championship game. I mean, a year ago at this time, Utah was knocking on the door of the college football playoff. It was kind of win and you're in type of scenario, and Utah got to that big stage. And ever since, there's just been a lot of issues in the program, some of it due to the Pac-12 conference and their handling of COVID-19. But it's just been a kind of herky-jerky last 12 months for Utah that hasn't had many positive returns. And I think also, too, Matt, the issue for Utah, the quarterback play. Tyler Huntley last year was fantastic in terms of efficiency, completion percentage, never turning the ball over.
Yep.
Jake Bentley, as a grad transfer who had a ton of experience in the SEC, you're seeing why Cam Rising ended up winning that job and why he would have been the starter had he not got hurt against USC. Bentley goes 16-23 for 144 yards and two interceptions. And the turnovers, as you noted, definitely had Kyle Whittingham fired up in the postgame after the Utes fall to the Huskies.
We talked the entire halftime about coming out and approaching the game as if this was 0-0, and then there was 30 minutes left, and that game was far from over, and all the coach speak that you can muster at halftime. And we came out and simply stopped making plays, and the turnovers are the biggest difference in the game. I mean, that's 5 turnovers last week, 4 this week. That's 9 in 2 weeks. That's got to be as many as anyone in the country.
Uncharacteristic things happening in Whittingham's program, because I think you come into the season – Utah in the preseason was a top 25 team by the AP voters, because I think everyone just thought, okay, young players, talented, heralded recruits, 4-star guys across the field, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You kind of thought they would hang their hat on things that have been kind of calling cards for Utah's program, not coughing up the ball, giving their offense a chance to win a game with the defense making big plays, but just has been a lot of mistakes from Utah. I think that's been one of the surprising things that I've taken away through these first 2 weeks, Matt.
And you brought up Cam Rising, Mitch, and we didn't see much of him, so I don't want to pour on the guy too much, but he didn't look great when he played either. So I think what you said about Tyler Huntley is a great point, and it's really not a surprise. When you think about college football and you think about BYU and the success they're having, Zach Wilson is having one of the best years a BYU quarterback has had. I mean, probably this decade for sure, but maybe over the last 20 or 30 years. And the top teams that are in contention for the college football playoff, you're talking Clemson, they've got Trevor Lawrence. You got Justin Fields. Notre Dame's having a great year. Guess what they have? Great quarterback play from Ian Book. And so, yes, Jake Bentley hasn't been good. Cam Rising, though, I want to pump the brakes a little bit, just because that we didn't see much, but what we did see, I didn't come away thinking, whoa, this dude's going to light college football on fire. I'm not sure Utah has a quarterback in the program right now that's going to take them to the level they want to be. And man, it's when you think about next season, because I think Utah, at this point, they're already looking forward to 2021. Are they going to have positive momentum going into that season? They will maybe only play, what, 4 games, 5 games? And you don't, the quarterback situation won't be settled. Maybe Jake Bentley graduates. It's just has not gone the way Utah wants it to go. And now I'm a little concerned. Is that going to carry over into 2021?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Cam Rising will be the guy, obviously, at quarterback.
He'll be the guy. I just don't know if he's going to take them to where they want to go. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that there's a valid argument to that just because he hasn't played much. But I think there's a lot of positivity. I mean, you hear from a lot of people that follow Utah extensively that he's a good leader. He's someone that's well-liked in that locker room. So I think those are some positive things. I think that was one of the reasons why he won. And they'll get Peter Castelli, a heralded 4-star quarterback out of California, coming into the program as well. That's one of the reasons why they haven't really pursued Jackson Dart from Corner Canyon much, because they got Castelli, who they're really high on and think could maybe, you know, compete right away and push the guys that are in the building next year for Utah. But I think, you know, ultimately, I think everyone looked at Utah once the Pac-12 had all these stipulations with COVID-19, and the Pac-12 had the late start, and then Utah had the 2 games canceled due to COVID-19. I think it just became an opportunity to give young players reps and opportunity to play this season, and you're seeing that. I mean, Nate Ritchie from Lone Peak High School, he's going to be fantastic. He's, to me, the next Marcus Williams for Utah at safety. He's got a ton of potential, and I know that, you know, BYU recruited him extensively, and they were hoping and praying they could have got a guy like Ritchie. He's got a strong relationship with Morgan Scalley. He had 7 tackles in only his second career college game. He's going to be a bright spot. I think also at running back for Utah,
yes.
I think Ute fans got to be pretty excited about Ty Jordan. He's got a lot of similarities to Zach Moss in his style, the way he runs. He's going to be a good one. He had 97 yards for the Utes.
He did have that costly fumble, but I agree with you. Ty Jordan has been a bright spot, and you know, I think Brant Keithy and the tight end group has looked good. Brian Thompson had a nice touchdown reception for Utah, so there's certainly talent there. But man, it's just when you lose 21-0, which, you know, Utah hasn't done that, as you mentioned, in quite a long time. 0-2 for the first time since 2007. That's tough, and I think it's been a while where Utah has had such an extended period of time, because you mentioned is there maybe a hangover from that Pac-12 championship game a year ago? That's a year ago. I mean, I can't believe I just said that. That's a year ago. There just has not been any positive news going forward in a year, and you wonder, is that something that you can flip the switch quickly? Because, and the reason I highlight this again, they do have the talent, but they don't have the experience. And is four games where maybe you go 1-3, 2-2, is that enough? Is that a big enough period of time to get that experience you need going into 2021? That remains to be seen, but this was a good opportunity for Utah, I think, to get back on the right foot and to lose the game in the fashion in which they did. It's concerning is not the right word, because Utah's not going to the Pac-12 championship game. They're not going to a New Year's Six game. They're certainly not going to the college football playoff, but you want to build some momentum going into 2021, and they only have a few more opportunities to do that.
Yeah, I think Oregon State this Saturday becomes a much tougher than expected game before the schedule was announced. I think when the crossover game was announced being Oregon State, you thought, oh, that's an easy win. But now the Beavers are coming off a victory over Oregon this past weekend in a highly contested, hotly contested rivalry game. So that's going to be a tough matchup for the Utes. The Pac-12, both Oregon State and Colorado heading down the stretch for the Utes, tougher than expected game. So this could be a season where Utah, if they can't get it turned around in a hurry, they could be winless. And you got to hope that maybe that still the experience for these youngsters can pay off down the road. Got to take a break, though. On the other side, we'll get to some BYU talk. Also, and BYU's ranking in the college football playoff. This is KSL's Unrivaled, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.